We're so grateful and so thankful that we serve a great God. Make a note, family, in Psalms 145 and 3. It says, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and God's greatness is beyond understanding." Great, great, great is how great our God is. It's the God that we serve. That's the God that we trust through our ups and downs. That's the greatness of our God. There is none greater. There is no equal. There's no one on God's level. God is in a league of his own. So thankful and so grateful. So we have a few announcements. I want to run through the announcements and then get right into the word. So please make a note. I want to thank you all for your giving. Y'all have been just very generous, and I'm just grateful and thankful for your tithes, your offering, and those that make donations. It just allows us to continue to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a world that's falling apart, they can stand on a word and a foundation that's solid. So we're teaching, we're trying our best to teach people how to build their house on the rock and stop creating sandcastle lifestyles and sandcastle relationships. So your giving allows us to do that. If you're on your desktop, just go to the giving, push the giving icon, and then go ahead and proceed accordingly. If you're on your phone, you go to the three bars, push the bars, then push giving and proceed accordingly. And again, if you want to write a check and mail it in, make it payable to SBALC, and then mail it to 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90807, Suite B-279, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. I want to invite you all out to Bible study this week. And so we're going through 2 Samuel chapter 20. We'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 20. And for those of you on Zoom, we'll get you a passcode for that. You will need a passcode just like you did this morning for in order to get on to the Zoom. So we'll make sure that you have the passcode for Wednesday night. But please plan to join us from 6:30 to 7:30, a life-changing hour. And you'll be so grateful and so thankful and so glad that you did. Let's see what else. If you have any prayer requests, please give us the privilege, allow us the privilege of praying for you. Email us at life@southbayalc.com. life@southbayalc.com. We thank you, thankful for the life that we have in Christ. And thank you for those of you that have emailed us and given us the privilege of praying for you. We consider it a privilege, just like someone prayed for us. And we're just modeling our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the word says, that Christ makes intercessions for us even now. Christ is praying for you and I that we make it, that we stay strong, that we keep our eyes on Christ, that we don't fall apart. The word says that we should pray and not faint, pray and not give up, pray and not fall apart. So it's a powerful thing to pray. And we're just modeling after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you all that have been fasting and praying each Sunday morning. We have our first meal after service. Please continue. It's based on Mark 9:29. And Jesus told his disciples when they asked him privately, why couldn't we do certain things? He said, some things is certain strongholds that require praying and fasting. So each Sunday morning, we come together as a unit since the beginning of the year, and we're praying and fasting. We have our first meal after church, and we're just agreeing that God's going to continue to do some great things and some great works in our life and throughout the world. I've shared with you how special the month of July is. Number one, both of our girls were born in July. They both celebrated birthdays, and we were very thankful to celebrate with them. And then on yesterday was our anniversary, so Tracy and I was able to celebrate 33 years of the God's grace on our life of being married. So we're just grateful and thankful. So we would ask that you would celebrate with us and then continue to pray for us. And all couples know, if you're a couple and you've been married longer than 33 minutes, somebody say amen. Yeah, I can't tell you how many stupid things you can do in 33 years. But if you've been married longer than 33 minutes, you know that we all could use prayer and we all could use the guidance of God. So just want to say thank you for your prayers. And we're grateful and we're thankful. And we love you all dearly. So thank you so much. Well, we're going to pray. Then we're going to jump into the word. And I truly believe it's going to bless your life this morning. So if you would just bow your heads. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you, Lord. We need you. God, we're not going to make it without you. We can't do it without you, Lord. And we thank you that your word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. So when we're feeling weak, when we're ready to fall apart, when we don't think we can make it, Lord, then we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. We tap into the wisdom of God, the word of God. And the word reminds us, that same word that stands in heaven, it reminds us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and it's settled. So we thank you, Lord. We don't have to go at it alone, but we do have the Comforter. We have the Paraclete. We have the person of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Godhead living within us, Lord. So we're just asking God, continue to be with us, because we, in the midst of these uncertain times, Lord, we need you today. We need you right now. We need Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God that is there right now. Lord, we need you right now with so much going on. We depend on you, God. Through the ups and the downs, God, we decree and declare that we will hold on to you. And so now as we get into your word, Lord, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, God. We need this word so much. We need the power of this word so much. We need the stability and the security and the steadfastness of your word so much, Lord. With many opinions and conspiracies and thoughts and emotions and feelings that just bombard us daily through social media and the TV and the radio, Lord, and the music, God, we need something stable, something firm, which is your word. Thank you, God. It's a blueprint. It's the map. It's the GPS. It's God's permanent solution to a mixed up, confused world filled with mixed messages and double standards. Thank you, Lord, that we serve a God that does not change. Bless your people to hear. Bless us to understand. We don't want information. We go anywhere for information, Lord. We want revelation, which leads to transformation, a transformed, born again, victorious, living life in Christ is our desire, is our prayer for each and every one of us, Lord, as we study your word this morning. Bless your people to hear. Holy Spirit, lead, guide. We need you. Bless us to understand. We open our hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us this morning through the word. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Family, if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms 119. We will start at verse 89, and it's going to be a quick review with a little addition as well. And then we're going to continue on, and we're going to review quickly Joshua 1 and 8 deserves repeating. And then we are going to just continue in the word, kind of be all over the place this morning. And where we stop, you all, family, you know how we do it. Where we stop. And then we'll pick it up, Lord willing. If the Lord says the same, then we'll pick it up next week. Psalms 119:89. If you're there, say amen. You can type it in the chat. Facebook family, you can go ahead and push that share button. You want to push the share button this morning. And I'll remind you throughout the service, throughout the message, you want to share this with your family and friends. Psalms 119:89, it says, forever, you should have that underlined. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. It is standing in heaven. And I also want to touch on Psalms 90. So let's read Psalms 119, 90. It says, your faithfulness is unto all generations. You have established the earth and it stands. Let me say that again. Look at verse 90, 119, 90. It says, God, that your faithfulness is unto all generations. First, the word is standing in heaven and is settled. And then God's faithfulness is to each generation. And it has been established. And God has established the earth, and the earth is standing. Just like we're standing here on earth, God's word is standing in heaven, settled, and it's been established. At verse 90, if you look at it, it says God is faithful. And faithful means God is trusted. In the Hebrew, it means God is trusted, God is stable, God is secure, steady, and set. So that's the God that we serve. And it said not only that God is faithful, but it goes to each generation. In the Hebrew, generation means a time of period and forevermore. So God has been there for generations. He's been faithful. He's been trusted. He's been stable. The earth is standing because God tells the earth to stand. The word is standing in heaven because God tells the word to stand. And so just make a note, family, God is not going to drop the ball in 2020. God is faithful to each and every generation. Now it's our generation. It's our time. God is not going to drop the ball in 2020 because of COVID-19, because of racism, or because of some other type of sin. God's not going to abandon us. God is not going to change his mind. God is, because of this sinful society and culture that we're in, God is faithful to each and every generation. God was there for our grandparents. God was there for their grandparents. God was there for their grandparents. God has always been faithful to his people. God was there for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Naomi, Ruth, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You go down the line, Paul and the other. God has always been there throughout each and every generation. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that's here for us right now. God is faithful, underline faithful in verse 90. God has always been there for his people. So be encouraged. God is not going to drop the ball now. God is not surprised. God is not caught off guard by anything that's happening now. And remember, this is the word of God, and it's been settled. Make a note, that's why Paul and Silas gave the jailer the word of God. Because it's settled, it's not going to change. Verse 90 says, God established the earth and it stands. Just like the earth is standing in space, God's word is standing in heaven. It's tangible. Get the visual on it. Just like we're standing here on the earth, God's word is standing in heaven. It's been settled, family. And it's secure and it's stable. In an unstable world, the word of God gives us stability. Let me say it again, family. In an unstable world, and we see it even more so today, we thought we had some control, but it was still unstable because nothing's guaranteed. But even more so today, in an unstable world, God gives us stability and peace through his word. That's why we can trust God, just like the others have throughout generations. It's standing firm in heaven. And the earth is standing in space. The earth has been erected by God. You hear people talking about a Big Bang theory. That's a theory. We're talking facts here. This is the word of God. This is what's standing in heaven. Don't get caught up in theories. Stand on the facts. The earth is standing because God has told it to. The word of God is standing in heaven because God has told it to, and it's been settled. Again, that's why Paul and Silas gave the jailer the word of God. That's why I'm trying to give you the word of God. Because when you leave this Zoom call or this Facebook Live, you're going to be hit with issues and circumstances and situations that are fluid, that are ever changing, but not God's word. and you can stand on God's word. And that's your choice. If you choose to stand on God's word, or you want to continue to operate your life according to theories and opinions and feelings and emotions, or you want to stand on the word of God and live your life founded on the rock of Christ, stop building sandcastle lifestyles and sandcastle relationships that only last for, they look pretty, but they only last until a storm comes. So family, make a note. Here's a revelation. Make a note. Here's a revelation this morning. One of the revelations. Even in uncertain times, and a culture and a society that thrives on double standards, your life can be stable and filled with peace because you've built your life on the rock of Christ. The word of God is your foundation. As we found out in Matthew 7, 24 through 27 last week, you and I have a choice to build our house on the rock, or we can build it on our sand and create a sandcastle and wait for the storm to come. The storms are coming. Matter of fact, we made a note last week, the storm is here. So get rid of the sandcastle lifestyle, which is just waiting to crumble. Your sandcastle relationship is waiting to crumble because it's not built on the rock. It's just a matter of time. Transition your life to the rock of Christ today. Turn with me to Joshua 1 and 8. Let's get a little bit deeper into the word. I'm excited about what God has put on my heart to share with you this morning. We'll do a quick review in 1:8, then we're going to jump into the word. And then at 10, around 10 o'clock, we will be finished. Give you some tools and some strategies so you can stay strong in the word and you can live this thing. I hope you made a note that each generation, God has been there. God is not going to drop the ball during our time. Those of us that have served, God's not going to abandon us. That's why the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I've never seen God desert his people. Even when they got caught up in the captivity, God was still there, waiting for us to repent, waiting for us to turn from our wicked ways, waiting for us to run back to him. God didn't leave us. We left God. As we'll see in the word, God makes it so plain. It's a standard. It's a way that we're to live. So as you look at Joshua 1 and 8, this is God speaking. So make a note, God speaks. God speaks to your heart during prayer. God speaks to your heart during worship. God speaks to your heart during the word. You have to have quiet time with God so you can hear God speak to your heart and your mind. And then you have to write it down. And then you have to confirm it with the word. And if you're not sure, find the multitude of counselors with their safety. Find your solid Christian friends and say, this is what God is speaking to my heart. And they'll let you know if it lines up with the word or not. And then you'll be praying, and then you'll be fasting, and then you'll see if God is going to manifest it. But God speaks, make a note. God speaking to Joshua. God speaks to us. God speaking to us through the word that he spoke to Joshua. And we pick it up at verse 8. God has given Joshua the formula, the ingredients, the blueprint for a victorious lifestyle. Make a note of this, family. Victory comes through faith in Christ and obedience to his word. A victorious lifestyle in Christ. Let me say it, family. It's not mystical. It's not magical. It's the word of God. A victorious lifestyle in Christ comes through faith, trusting Christ, and being obedient to God's word. And that's what God is explaining to Joshua. Let me say it one more time. So you don't have to leave this service and try and figure out, what does God expect of me? God expects you. If you want to live victorious, a victorious life, go on and push that share button. We're going in now. If you want to live a victorious life in Christ, you have to be obedient to his word and you have to trust him. And that's what he's telling Joshua. We pick it up in 1 and 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, The word of God stays in your mouth. It stays in your heart. It stays in your mind. It goes deep into your soul. We must remember. That's why we got to study it. Look what he says next. But you shall meditate therein day and night. That's why we're able to proclaim the word. Because we have quiet time. Family, you should have at least 5 minutes a day, every day. At least 5 minutes a day, every day, where you pause. And you cut on your 5 minute worship song and you read a scripture and you meditate on it. This is a great scripture for that. And you meditate and say, God, speak to my heart. God, show me why you created me. God, show me what you have for my life. God, lead me and guide me. Let me be a light for you. Give me the strength to overcome the frustrations, the distractions and the temptations of life. God, I need you. And you have at least 5 minutes a day when you're praying for your family, praying for your kids, praying for your grandkids, praying for your spouse, praying for your siblings, praying for your parents. This is how you live an obedient life and have a victorious life according to the word of God. Family, this is how. It's not mystical. It's not magical. It's what you practice. It's what you do daily that draws you close to God. And then God's word comes out of your mouth because this is what you've been practicing. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way, you shall have progress, and you shall have good success. So God has shown us how to be victorious, how to progress, how to have good success. And again, good success is when you move forward in God's wisdom, God's discernment, and God's insight. Let me say it again. The word prosper, and people take that out of context, but in the Hebrew, prosper means to progress. You're moving forward with God's wisdom, good success, God's wisdom, God's discernment, and God's insight. That's good success. And family, you want to have good success on your job, at church, when you're in your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends. You want to have good success. You want to have growth and wisdom, discernment, and insight in your business. It's your family. That's a blessed life. It's what God is. Remember, make a note. This is what God is speaking to Joshua. And God is saying, look, if you want to be blessed in every area of your life, he's saying, if you want to be blessed in every area of your life, if you want to grow, this is how. Be obedient to the word. Meditate on it day and night. Let me speak to your heart every day before you leave the house, before you go to bed, throughout the course of the day. God said, let me speak to your heart. Then you're going to progress. And then you're going to progress with wisdom, insight, and discernment. God, family, God's trying to make it so plain to Joshua. Then look at verse 9. God says, have I not commanded you? And then he tells him to be strong, be alert, be urgent, be courageous, be alert, be urgent. Because it's not going to be easy. We shared last week, living for Christ is going to be the toughest thing that you've ever done because your flesh tells you to do what it wants to do. And then the Spirit of God is trying to tell you, no, be strong, be courageous. Verse 9, God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be urgent and be alert. Be brave. Don't be afraid. Wow, why would God have to tell Joshua not to be afraid? Family, because as we progress through life, there's some scary stuff out there. Some scary stuff in our time right now. Scary issues, scary diseases, scary people. Scary. But God said, don't be afraid. Why not, God? Why shouldn't I be afraid? God makes it plain. And he says, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be depressed. Don't be discouraged. That word overwhelmed means don't be shattered. Don't let this world shatter you. Family, this world will shatter and shred you and I. So much going on. And if we take our eyes off our God and start living according to opinions and conspiracy theories and anything other than the word of God, we will get shredded and shattered. And God's warning us against it. He said, don't be afraid and don't get shattered and shredded by this world. Why not, Lord? Then God says, for the Lord, for the existing one, the Trinity is with you and I wherever we go. Underline that, put a star by that. Because see, this is the word of God coming from God. This is the word of God that's erected, that's standing in heaven. And God is saying, don't be afraid. Don't get discouraged. Don't get shattered or shredded because I'm with you. As you, wherever you go, I'm with you so you can grow. So family, that tells us we need to run to God and not from God. Even in the midst of being afraid, even in the midst of being overwhelmed, even in the midst of uncertainty, God says, I'm with you. And that's the word. So family, we have a choice. Either we stand on God's word or we just go through life and we're guessing. When do we stop guessing how to live and when do we trust God at his word and allow him to live through us? Turn with me to Joshua. Let's stay in the book of Joshua. Let's go to Joshua 23. Joshua 23. And family, I want you to make a note. This is how Joshua's ministry begins in Joshua 1 and 8. His ministry begins with God giving him the word. And then his ministry and his life comes to an end. We have Joshua confirming that God is true to his word. Let me say it again and make a note of it. Because God's word is erected and is standing in heaven and is settled. And it is what it is because God said that it is and it's not going to change. That's why Paul and Silas gave the jailer the word of God. So Joshua's ministry starts with God giving him the word. And then Joshua's life and ministry ends with Joshua confirming that God did exactly what he said he would do according to God's word. And everything that happened in between is just incredible. When you have the time, you can read in between. It is incredible. And God has been true to his word. So let's pick it up at Joshua 23 and verse 3. If you're there, say amen. Not that I can hear you, but say amen or type amen in the chat or on Facebook. Type it so I know that you're there. Look what Joshua says in 23 and 3. Joshua now is addressing the congregation and the leaders and the elders. Joshua, oh, and then by the way, make a note. This is Joshua pretty much on his deathbed. This is his deathbed testimony and confession. So this is urgent. This is his testimony at the end. And I hope we have a similar testimony. It's not playtime. All right, here we go. Verse 3. Make a note. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Underline that God has fought for you and I. This is Joshua telling the people, you've seen everything that God has done. Joshua says, I'm out of here. My life is over. My ministry is coming to an end. It's time for me to transition to go be in the presence of God spiritually. And my physical body is going to get buried. And spiritually, I'm transitioning right to God in the presence of God. Because the scriptures clearly tell us that to be absent from the body, those of us in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Joshua said, I'm heading there. But make a note. Joshua said, and you have seen, underline seen, the people have witnessed it. And some of us, if we've given a testimony, we give our testimony, we can tell you we've seen the hand of God. From before we were saved up until this point, we've seen the hand of God on our life. That's what Joshua is telling him. You've seen it. I don't have to make it up. I don't have to convince you, family. You all have seen it. You know that we're all standing here by the grace of God. How much time do you have? I can tell you my story. You can tell me your story. And all we can say is God is good and his mercy endures forever. The grace of God allows us to stand here today. We've seen it, so this is no different what Joshua is saying to the congregation. You've seen it. I've seen it. And he said, you and I have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Make a note, God has fought for us. Some of you, you're making this much more difficult than it has to be. You're getting in the way of God. God's trying to fight your battle, but you keep opening your mouth and you get in the way. God said, I can handle this. Joshua's saying, look, God's fought for us. All the battles that we had, it's in one of the chapters they're having a fight. Joshua prays that the Lord would allow the sun to stay out for 24 hours so they can keep fighting and keep battling and keep wiping out the enemy. And it says that the sword in Joshua's hand became like a part of his hand. He took out all his enemies. And Joshua's saying, that wasn't me. It's not you. It's God who has fought for us. Get out of the way and let God fight your battles. Stop embarrassing yourself. Stop getting in the way because you're trying to fight it. And you know, when we fight it in the flesh and it never turns out right. Go into your prayer closet. Ask God for wisdom and allow God to fight for you. Look at it. It gets better. I love God for his word. Stay in chapter 23 and look at verse 14. Joshua makes it even more clear. Joshua 23 and 14. He says, and behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Behold, today I'm going to die. Wow. So let's pause right there. Joshua's saying, as great as Joshua was, and Joshua was a great leader, he says, but today it's my time's up. I'm going to die. And I think about it. I look at Joseph. Joseph was a great leader. Joseph died. See, because some kind of way we have people, maybe it's you and you're mad at God because someone you know who loved God died. And people are upset with God as if it's God's fault that people die. It's just the way it is. God created this body so it wouldn't have to die. But because of sin, we die. But when you're in Christ, you just transition right to the presence of God. But you can't be mad at God. Look at Joshua. As great as Joshua was, he died. As great as Abraham was, he died. As great as Isaac and Joseph, they died. As great as Rahab and Esther and Ruth and Paul and all the disciples, they died. And then as great as Christ is, he died. And so what? And so you're upset with God because your grandma who loved the Lord is dying of cancer, or your mom, or we got to grow up. It's just what it is. Instead of being mad at God, get mad at sin and then go and tell someone about Christ so they can get saved. And so when they die, they just transition to heaven. And it's not a death, it's a promotion. Stop. Come on, we got to grow up. We can't be mad at God because people die. That's just the way it is. But what we can do is be ambassadors for Christ and go and plant seeds and water seeds so people can get saved. So when they die, it's not the end. It's only the beginning of a promotion into the presence of God. People die and we take it personal and get mad at God. We got to grow up. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy being mad at God because someone close to you who committed their life to Christ died. Make a note, family. Christians die. We don't get a free pass. We all have to go through that death canal and stand before God. So stop being upset with God and get busy about God's work because our time is shorter today than it was yesterday. Think about the good news. The good news is that through Christ, we transition directly to paradise with Christ. So let's finish this. 14. And behold, this day Joshua saying, I'm going to die. Right, we made a note. I don't think I have to go over that anymore. And he says, and you know in your heart and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. Let me say that again. Remember, the word of God, it stands in heaven. Everything, Joshua's saying, everything that God promised us in chapter 1, as I'm dying in chapter 24, everything, just as God said it would happen, has happened. That's why God's word is settled, it's erected, it's standing firm, it's stable, it's steadfast, it offers security. We can have stability in an unstable world because God's word doesn't change. And we can live victorious through obedience to the word of God and trust in Christ. Let me read that again. Some of you, make a note. This is one of your meditation scriptures as well. When things are falling apart, it seems your life is falling apart, get on your knees and meditate on this scripture and remind yourself that you know in all your hearts, Joshua's saying, you know in all your heart and in your soul, because it begins in the heart and in the soul, that part of us that does not dissolve upon death, that's your soul. Joshua's saying, you know, you can sit down and you can look all the way through your heart is what Joshua's telling him. And he says, not one thing that God promised us has failed. Everything that God said he would do, it came to pass. Family, that's good news. That's the God we serve. And it's up to us to trust God and serve him and be obedient. And I'm telling you this, and I said it before, I'll say it again, until you give God 100%, this is not your testimony. It can't, because you don't know. Because you're still building the sandcastle. And you can't say everything that God has promised has come to pass because I'm so busy building sandcastles and they keep crumbling and falling down when the storm comes and I build another one. I'm so busy wasting my time, my energy, and my effort building a sandcastle, I can't stand on God's word. And I go round and round in circles and I refuse to humble myself and submit and commit my life to God's word and trusting God. And then I have the nerve to be mad at God when something doesn't work out or when someone who is serving God dies, as if Christians don't die. And I continuously build sandcastles. Joshua said, you know in your heart, you can stand there and sit there. And Joshua's saying from chapter 1 to chapter 24, everything that God's promised has happened. But then look at verse 15. I love it. I love it because it's always two sides to a coin. God gives us conditions. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. But you have, remember, it comes down to two letters, I and F. That always gives us a choice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. You have to run to Christ in order to be rescued. It's a condition. So Joshua gives the other side of the coin. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised. Underline that. God promised. His word is standing. God promised them all the good things. We want to pick and choose the scriptures that we recite and that we live by. Joshua, you can't do that. You can't do that. Let me start over again. Verse 15. Therefore, it should come to pass that is all the good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you. Uh-oh. So shall, listen to this. So shall the Lord bring upon you all the evil things till he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. Verse 16. Don't miss it. When you have transgressed, when you have rejected, turn your back on the covenant, the agreement, the word of God, of your Lord, your God, which he commanded you.
and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you and I." It's pretty deep. I've meditated on verse 14 for months. And then God said, you got to start reading 15 and 16. Meditate on that as well, because you just can't say, man, every good thing that God's promised, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus, is going to come to pass, because you got to read 15. You got to keep it in context. Keep the word in context. 14, 15 and 16 goes together. Yes, we can benefit from the promises of God. It's not going to change. But God says, if you change, if you're not obedient and you're out there doing your own thing, just like I promised you every good thing, I'm telling you, it's a two-way street. God told him, if you serve me, then you have the blessed life. If you go and serve false gods, then you're going to deal with the wrath of God. And then God's going to remove us from the good land that he has. I have a read this, Sister Kathy, so I'm going to have to read this. So here's the revelation. I'll say it again. You and I have to give God 100% of our heart and our soul. We will never have a testimony like what's in verse 14. Now, I hope this scripture will encourage and empower you to live an obedient life in Christ. May verse 14 encourage and empower you to live an obedient life in Christ. Then we get to verses 15 and 16, which is the word of God too. And look at this, family, make a note. Society and the culture wants to blame everyone except our sin, our rebellion, and our disobedience to the covenant and the word of God. We want to point fingers at everyone else. We want to point fingers at racism and all these other isms and COVID and everything else. We want to point fingers and say, this is why society, because of you, because of your political party or your color, skin, and God saying, no, that's not it. It's because of your disobedience and rebellion. And when we point one finger, we always want to forget that it's three fingers pointing back at us. This is God's word. God already told us what's going to happen. We can't pick and choose the scriptures that we're going to stand on. The word has been settled. Make a note, family. Partial obedience to the word of God is still total disobedience to the word of God. Let me say it again. Partial obedience to the word of God is still total disobedience to the word of God. Make a note based on verses 15 and 16. There is a reason why our current culture and society and world is falling apart. It's a reason, because we've turned our back on God. Now I want to blame everyone else and make it a skin problem when it's a sin problem. I want to blame everybody except for my own rebellion to the word of God and to what God is. Remember, just like verse 14 is erected and standing in heaven, so is verse 15 and 16. They're erected and standing in heaven and saying, if you go out and you be disobedient, then God is going to move you off the good land, the blessed life that he's promised through Christ. Let me go on and read this, because it's here. Think about the culture and society that we're living in that constantly points fingers. It's always somebody else's fault, except for us not being obedient to the word of God. And we want to deny and we want to reject God and go with theories as opposed to facts based on the word of God, which is standing. There is a reason why our current culture and society and world is falling apart. There is a reason. We can't be racist and murderers and adulterers, killing babies before they are born and participate in this syndemic and this systemic sin, and then point fingers at each other as we don't know what the word of God has already settled in heaven. We have to repent and return to God, return to the word of God. God has given us a good land and a blessed life. Let me say it again. God has given us a good land and a blessed life, and our sin, make a note, and our sin, rebellion, and disobedience is getting ready to ruin it for us, just like it always does. Let me say it again. Make a note of this. God has given us a good land and a blessed life, and our sin, rebellion, and disobedience is getting ready to ruin it for us, just like it always does. And that's the word. That's the word. Family, let's finish up like this. Let's stay right in the book of Joshua, but let's go to Joshua 24. Just go next door to 24 and 14. Just look right next door to chapter 24 and verse 14. Joshua is telling the people, this is his last will and testament, so to speak. His deathbed declaration and proclamation. He says in verse 14, "Now therefore," respect, that word fear means to respect the awesomeness of the Lord and serve him in sincerity. That's the problem, folks. People don't respect God. They disrespect God. We've kicked God out of schools. We've kicked him out of job, workplace. We don't care about God. I'm not saying we, but I'm saying as a culture. They kick God out of everything. And Joshua's saying, no, we have to respect the awesomeness of God and then serve him and stop serving all this other stuff. We're serving false gods and false idols. Joshua's trying his best to make it clear. "Now, therefore, respect the awesomeness of the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." He's saying, get rid of the false idols that you served before you were born again. Get rid of the false idols that you saw your grandfather and your uncles and all of them serving. He's saying, get rid of all that stuff. He said, you gotta respect the awesomeness of God, and you gotta sell out to God and stop playing games and stop serving all that stuff that you served before you was born again. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 15. "And if it seems evil to you," if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, and some people don't want to have anything to do with God, and you see the mess that we're in. But it's okay, because God is going to separate the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the tare. Remember, we're not all children of God, because some people actually think it's evil. We're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Because some think it's evil to serve God and would call you and I a fool for giving our heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's not my brother. That's not my sister. That's someone created by God. But they're not a child of God. Until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you become a child of God. Don't let people try and get you caught up in some mixed message and theory. This is the word of God. It is clear that we're all not children of God, all created, but not children until we accept Christ. And then we come into the family. Let me finish this up, family, and then we'll pick it up next week. Verse 15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," choose, underline choose. See, it's a choice. Isn't that beautiful? God gives us a choice. So when we stand before God, I can't point at you. You can't point at me. I can't point at my mom, my grandma, my auntie, my uncle, my pastor, my congregation, the people up and down the street, because I had the choice either to choose God or not. I love God for that. Going to stand before God, and I'm going to be accountable for Jerome, Vincent, Carter, and that's it. And the choices I made. And when God goes through my life, he's going to say, at some point, did you choose to serve and follow me? Did you choose to have me cover your sins? It's going to be some point in the video of my life that's going to show that I made the choice, not because of what other people were doing, but because I knew that I needed a Savior and my life was jacked up, and it still is without Jesus Christ. Verse 15, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Americans in whose land you dwell, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I substitute the Amorites for the Americans because AM, it's the same thing. This is the land we dwell in, and you have the choice whose God you're going to serve. And Joshua makes it clear, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We'll pick it up here next week because we're out of time, and God's given us a thought as we leave. You got a choice, family. The book of Joshua is clear from beginning to end. Everything that God said that he would do, he's done. And then it's up to you and I to make the choice. We've served so many other things. We've served so many other things. God is saying, now it's time to sell out and to serve me. And watch the hand of God move over your life. And your testimony would be everything that God said he was going to do. Even when I was in the midst of confusion, he's done. So we'll pick it up next week. Go ahead and bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the challenge to trust and commit and submit our life to Christ and then be obedient to the word of God. And that's how we have the blessed life on the land that God's given us. The blessed life that Christ has promised us, the blessed life that we get to enjoy, the stability in the midst of an unstable world. It comes through the word of God that we build our home and our heart and our soul on the rock of Christ and not on some sinking sandcastle waiting to be washed away at the first storm. And then, Lord, you told us we have a choice to serve you or to serve the people of whose land that we are in. It is a difference. Can stand on the word just like we're standing on earth. Because you caused the earth to stand right where it is. And we stand on the word of God. Because the word is standing in heaven because you told it to stand right there. So, Lord, we need you. And we bless you. And we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us a choice. Because now I can't blame anyone, God. I don't have to blame anyone. It's my choice to receive or to reject you. Thank you for the choice, Lord, that when I stand before you, it's a choice that I'm going to live with. It's a choice I'm going to die with. And it's a choice I'm going to stand before you with. But it's my choice. And I thank you, Lord. The word says, choose you this day. You don't have tomorrow promise. You have to choose today who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, for me and my heart, I choose to serve the Lord. In the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the instability, in the midst of everything that's going on in the world today that changes daily, thank you, Lord, that we serve a God that doesn't change, and we can stand on the security, the steadfastness, the stability of the word of God. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, maybe you're on Facebook or Zoom. Someone invited you to Facebook or Zoom and you tuned in and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Well, you have a choice. And that's the beautiful thing. No one's going to pressure you. No one's going to twist your arm because it's your choice. And even if we pressured you and twisted your arm and beat you over the head and browbeat you, you could say it with your mouth, but if it's not believed in your heart, then it's just a show. So it's really your choice, and it's between you and God. And that's exactly where it needs to be. That's the business that no one else needs to know. You can profess it, but if it's not in your heart, it really doesn't mean anything. That's the business between you and God. Now that because you are saved, it should be some evidence of a saved life. But this is strictly personal. This is not organized religion. This is not following some building or some cult or some leader. This is having a relationship with the true and living God, Jesus Christ. The same God that spoke with Joshua. Remember, the word which is in heaven said he's faithful to each generation. Same God spoke to Joshua, speaking to your heart now, saying you need to choose Christ. And that's personal. Don't get caught up in all the other stuff, what other people are saying and all the conspiracies. Get into the Word of God. And ask your friend who has all the theories, ask them just the question, are you smarter than the Bible? Are you smarter than the Word of God that's been standing in heaven since the beginning of time? And if they have the nerve to tell you, yeah, then you need to find a new friend. You need to find somewhere else to go. It's a lot of arrogance and pride to say that you're smarter than the Word of God. But if you want to accept Christ today, it's your choice. It's as simple as repeating these words after me, and it's not just repeating the words, but actually receiving them and embracing them in your heart. Dear Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for challenging me to choose you. Right now, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart. I embrace you. I receive you into my heart and into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, and thank you for resurrecting on that third day. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Right now, Lord Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit fills my heart, fills my life, fills my mind. And God, help me to be the person that you created me to be. I choose you today. I've served all the false gods, but today I choose you. Today I want my life to be born again. Today I want to be different. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the choice to choose life. Thank you for the choice to choose Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, please send the email to life@southbayalc.com. I'd love to send you some materials and some scriptures that you can go over that just shows you that it's not about a feeling, but it's about the Word of God. Salvation is not about a feeling or an emotion. You don't fall out on the floor when you get saved. You don't start running around. Maybe some people do, but you don't have to. It's about the Word of God saying, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you rededicate your life. It's about the Word of God saying, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't work for heaven. All we can do is receive God's salvation. And then once we are saved, then we work to help others to get to heaven by sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Family, as I finish up the announcements, again, for prayer requests or any other prayer needs or any questions you might have about salvation, about the Word of God, please email us. life@southbayalc.com. And then our Wednesday night Bible study, we are in 2 Samuel chapter 20. It has been incredible, relevant, and eye-opening. And those of you that attend Bible study, you will receive a code, the passcode, so that you can get in on Wednesday night. And also, if you're on if you're on Facebook Live and you need that passcode, then please email us, life@southbayalc.com. Let me say it again, life@southbayalc.com. I will email you the passcode for Wednesday night. And then once again, last but of course not least, just want to say thank you again for your giving. It's our goal and our desire just to take the gospel to the whole world via live stream and via next door neighbor or wherever God sends us. And your giving definitely allows us to do that. southbayalc.com, and you can give today. Really thankful that you joined us. I can't wait to next week so we can finish the word. Our series just continues to go on. You can't exhaust the word of God. And so each week we're just be praying that God gives us the fresh, relevant revelation so that we can keep growing and keep getting reinforced and strengthened as we see the world unraveling like a string on a drapery or a tapestry, and you pull that string and it just starts to unravel. So keep praying for that fresh word, because we see the world unraveling before our eyes. But thank God for the stability that we have in Christ. So if you would just bow your head, Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you for today, for your word, for clarity, for stability in an unstable world, for peace in the midst of confusion. But thank you for reminding us we can stand on the word of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this word. Now let us go out and live it. Let us go out and practice it. Let us meditate on it. Let us show the kindness of God towards someone. Let us extend grace as God has extended grace to us. So we bless you. We thank you and we love you, Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you Wednesday night, Facebook family. I can't wait for Wednesday night. And I can't wait to see you next Sunday as we continue in the word, continue the series, The Good Shepherd, the subheading, singing, suicide and salvation. And in the subheading under that, the power of the word of God. God bless you. Love you.